Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. Phlipsis is a Greek word which means pressure, affliction, tribulation, or anything that burdens the spirit. This Friday's message will share wisdom on how to overcome and handle any trouble that will come your way through the help and grace of God. Today, Bishop Dag will reveal three fights that a minister and builder in the house of God will have to face on the road to the anointing, but he will also share practical keys on how you can fight back and conquer. Be sure to also stay tuned for a powerful and edifying prayer led by the prophet.
Pray. Father, we thank you for your blessing today as we receive your holy word. Bless us and encourage us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Today we are going to look at a Greek word. So the title of the message is Phlipsis. 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 Like Francis, but Phlipsis. All right. Phlipsis. 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 All right. Okay, so just keep that at the back of your mind. Remind me to tell you what it is before we finish. Nehemiah chapter 5. And there was a great cry. Let's all stand for the reading of the word. And there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, the Jews. For there were that said, we, our sons and our daughters, are many. Therefore we take up corn for them, that we may eat and live. Some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards and houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth. There were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tributes, and that upon our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants, and some of our daughters are brought unto bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards. And I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. Then I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers, and said unto them, ye exact usury every one of his brother. And I set a great assembly against them. And I said unto them, we, after our ability, have redeemed our brethren the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen. And will ye even sell your brethren? Or shall they be sold unto us? Then held they their peace, and found nothing to answer. Also I said, it is not good that ye do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God, because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? I likewise, and my brethren, and my servants, might exact of them money and corn. I pray you, let us leave of this usury. Restore, I pray you, to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their oliveyards, and their houses, also the hundredth part of the money and of the corn. He exact of them. Then said they,
we will restore them, and we will crown them.
that they should do according to this promise. Also, I shook my lap and said, so God shake out every man from this house and from his labor that performeth not this promise. Even thus be he shaken out and empty. And all the congregation said, amen, and praise the Lord. And the people did according to this promise. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in the church and to receive. We ask, Lord, for your great blessing to be upon us as we receive your word tonight. We know that it's a special night of your special blessing. And we ask that you restore unto us higher wisdom for higher accomplishments in you. Thank you for strength. Thank you for favor. Thank you for blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Right. The work of God is the greatest job you can ever be involved with. And to build something for God is a very important and noble opportunity that anyone could ever have. And you know, there are different lines of wisdom. Wisdom from above and wisdom of this earth. For instance, if you wanted to work in the church as a full-time minister, you know, a natural wisdom could advise you carefully against something like that. And there are many good reasons why you should not work in a church, especially a church like our church. Somebody may see it as a one-man organization. Somebody may also look at it and say, you know, what about if the leader dies? What will happen to us and those who have resigned their jobs and come here? You get it? And what further opportunities and security do we have in such a place? You understand what I'm saying? These are wise things, and older people will carefully advise you on such things. And they are right in the sense of the natural wisdom that they have, you know. And it is, you know, in the interest of any parent or any wise or older person to guide his children along the lines of safety and along the lines of carefulness. Amen. Is that not so? And so anyone, you know, parents are people you don't just ignore, because, you know, when you've lived a bit longer, you learn the surprising turns of life. Life has a way of turning into various curves and corners until you have become experienced, and then you now know that this thing, it will turn this way, and this thing, it will turn this way. And so when you see the wisdom of the natural wisdom of older people advising, you know, you have to do this and you have to secure yourself and do that and so on and so forth, it is understandable. However, there is another line of wisdom. You understand? There's another side to it. You know, there are many people who work in various organizations which also collapse. Vodi collapse. Ashanti Goldfields laid off so many of its workers, it almost completely went out. Valco is collapsed also. Valco. What are you saying? Bank for Housing and Construction was liquidated completely. Valco is gone out. Well, and Swissair, you know, collapse. I know people who bought tickets on Swissair and couldn't fly anymore and couldn't get their money, you know, and so on and so forth. And there are many companies, Seal Ghana Limited and all sorts of companies which people have gone to work at. And some years ago, they said, you are working at Vodi Technic, you know, those who supply. It's like, really, man, you know, you are really making, you are working at Ashanti Goldfields or whatever. But, you know, in the natural, they also have a way of turning curves. You get it? So there's a risk there. I mean, you can get married and your spouse will die shortly after getting married. I've seen people who married and died, the spouse died after 7 months. And I've seen people who married and then the spouse died on Monday. When he married on Saturday, the spouse died on Monday. Do you understand what I'm talking about? But how can we still marry even though something like that can happen? You understand? So when you think about it deeply and think about it carefully, you realize that you are always taking such risks.
Amen.
You know, people work for Ghana Airways. They fly very, very old planes, very dangerous aircraft, and they go happily all the time. They say, no, by faith, nothing will happen. Pastor, we believe God is well. Because of us, this plane does not fall down, and so on and so forth. There are various kinds of confessions concerning the plane because they are on the plane. It's true. What I'm saying is a reality.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't consider those ones as risk and so on. And they have all kinds of confessions. But when it comes to other things, then they come up with all kinds of theories and all kinds of things concerning the work of God. You know, people are prepared to go and do courses and be separated from their husbands and their wives for 2 years, 3 years, masters, 5 years, all kinds of things. And then let the church also ask you to do that. Then suddenly it turns into something else. So realize that we are hypocritical when it comes to our assessment and when it comes to the work of God. The reason is because the work of God is despised. It's essentially despised by the children of Satan and by the world system. It is looked down upon. It is rejected. It's unwanted. You know? I mean, you see people risking their lives all the time for all kinds of things. And then you say, send a missionary to Nigeria. Say, hey, Nigeria, you know, there may be whatever. People go to Nigeria all the time. There are so many white people in Nigeria.
Yeah.
British Airways goes every day, twice a day. Abuja every day. This place every day. Kano all the time. People are going there because there's money there. And it's like there is a good enough reason for us to go there 7 times a week. Nobody has any question about that. Now you start to send somebody to as a missionary. Say, you know, if it's somewhere else, we may consider, but not to that place. So you realize that our wisdom is one-sided. And then we also have the other side. If we don't want to even argue in that direction, we can look at the heavenly realities. One brother, a friend of mine, you know, he was working for one of these foreign airlines, and he was a top man in the airline. And he told them that he was resigning to come and work in the ministry. And the people said, you know, no. You can't come. You can't resign. We need you. You are special to us. And they offered him, they said, we are making you this, we are doing that, we are going to do this, we are going to do that. You know, and at a point they said, no, you are special to us. You cannot resign. We need you. You are special to the organization and so on. And then he said, and the Lord said to him, would you rather hear those words that you are special to me from Jesus or from these white unbelievers? I'm standing and say that you are special to me. Or the Lord will say to you that you are special to me.
Yeah.
Where would you like to hear those things from? Like you are a good person and a special person. Who would you like to hear it from? And he dropped it and he went away. Like Paul said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may gain Jesus Christ. You see, there's a heavenly wisdom. Bible says that, you know, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. But the things on the earth are temporary, you know. So ladies and gentlemen, we need to get the wisdom of God, you know, and not be swayed by the clever deceptions, you know, and the Satan. We need to move away from the beguiling spirit of Satan, which has beguiled the whole world and led the whole world into deception and darkness. If you read the book of Revelations, you find that even when God destroys this earth with fire, men will still rebel against God and fight against God until the very end. You know, and then the Bible says that at the end, Satan was bound, which deceived the whole world, that he may not deceive the world anymore. So the cause of the deception is a spirit of Satan that leads us on and on and on until the life on this earth is wasted. Satan's wish for you is that you will waste your time on this earth. I'm telling you, if ever you find yourself serving God from a young age, always be grateful to God. You understand? Be grateful to God that you found him early. Because the longer you serve him here, the greater your rewards will be over there. I say the longer you serve him over here, the greater your reward will be over them. So thank God if you found yourself serving him at a tender age. You know, I have no regrets. You know me, I was an unbeliever, all right, but there are so many things I never did. I never got into parties, discos, drinking, smoking, fornicating. All those things, they were not in my life at all. I started quite early. By a certain age, I was serving the Lord, and I was zealous and fully operational in the kingdom of heaven. And I thank God, I have not missed anything. I have not missed anything. Those of you who have been for various excursions before you came, you know. The song, your favorite song is Wasted Years, Wasted Years. Oh, how foolish. And you cannot compare somebody who has given himself from an early age. From, you know, even when you are going to marry, see that people look for you, by your skill. Start, come. You see, look at his face. You can, oh, look at him. You can somehow tell his age. Do you see? Come. You can somehow tell his age. Somehow. Come, Diana, come. You can somehow tell her age. Akos, come. Everybody is nice, but you can tell the age. Come. You. Yeah. What's the name again? No, no, no. Idara, Idara, come. You can somehow tell the age. Is that not so?
Yeah.
Pastor Eddie, please come. You can somehow tell the age.
Blackstar.
Is that not so?
Yes.
Blackstar.
Little Catherine, come. You can somehow tell the age. Is that not so? All these people have a different starting point. And there are people who feel, you know, if you are young, you are too good for God. But you are good enough for fornication, for abortion, for adultery, for drugs, for smoking, for stupidness, for foolishness, for drunkenness, for partying, for all kinds of revelings. But when they are nice, even when you are getting married, you look to see a fresh something. And there's a song they used to sing. She's fresh. She's fresh. It's exciting. She's fresh. You want something fresh. Something exciting. Not something that is old. Something that is finished. Something that is tired. Something that is weary. Something that is worn out. Something that has been used and reused. Recycled. Mercy.
It's like overhauling.
Why is it that when you are going to marry, you don't want a recycled version or product, but you want a fresh something? Why is it that when people employ, so they want fresh, take it when it's young, and give your best years. Below 45, no. Below 30, not older than 30, 25. No, should not be above 25, should not be above 30. Because there is something that you get at that age that you don't get beyond a certain age. Why? Why can't a young person serve the Lord? Why can't a young person give his better years when he's fresh or when she's fresh, when she's exciting and she's fresh, why can't she give that time of her life to the Lord? Why should she give it to something else or somebody else? Why can't she set her affection on things above from an early age? Does everybody have to go into the world and misuse himself and go through so many things before you come as a recycled, repaired, overhauled, maintenance, I mean some kind of old second-hand version? Have you seen an old car that has been sprayed? Have you seen an old car that has been sprayed? Somehow you know that it's not a new car.
Somehow.
There's something about an old car. No matter how they spray blue. I saw somebody's car. I think it was a Peugeot. He has sprayed the car. Sprayed the car. Sprayed the car. I was one hour. That's the owner of the car there. And I said, why has this man sprayed the car? Spray. You can tell somehow the age of the car. You are struggling too much to make an old thing new. William, receive a new car in Jesus' name.
Automobile.
We are not too fresh, too good. My little Catherine here, who works in my office, she had first class in the university. First class. So when she told me how she had first class, I said, then you must rush away quickly and go to do, your master's and your PhD and further, whatever. You know, I said, you must go. She said, no, I want to work for the Lord.
Wow.
I said, you must go. There are some people who think we are against education. If you think we are against education, your mind is slightly smaller than it should be. Right. Try and take it for repairs, okay?
spray.
Take your mind for spraying. You need some. But you see, people would think that once you got a first class, you are too clever for the church. Too good for the church. You know, the church needs something like third class or something that is, you know, that didn't pass and was repeated, you know.
Past class.
You know, just, you know, all level leavers. I mean, somebody who didn't do well. That's the church property. That's the type that fits into the church. It's a sign of your disrespect for God and for his thing. But you wait and see. It's not going to be long. Suddenly, you know, and I tell you, when people are dying, they talk differently. I've talked to many dying people. I mean, not so many, but I've talked to dying people. I've had the sad privilege of talking to people who are dying, and they know they are dying. It's a very rare thing to know you are dying and to die when you know you are dying. Most people don't know that they are going to die. When they know they are going to die, they change. I was watching a documentary. There was a man who was talking about people who are on the condemned cells or the death row, and he said something. He said, you know, don't be deceived by the quiet appearance of this man. You know, because the man, they said he didn't deserve to die. He has a very good character. He has been on death row or in the condemned cell for 7 years. And he's good behavior. He's a friend with all the guards and so on. Then the man said, no. He has the typical behavior of a condemned man. Very quiet, very reserved, very calm, very sober. When you are condemned, you become cool. You just cool down. You just calm down. Yeah. You will think differently. Does it take death or serious illness to correct your thinking and give you the wisdom of eternity? And for you to think of heavenly things? No. It doesn't have to. You can believe the Bible now. I served the Lord. I was 16 years old and I was saved and I was preaching and I was following up people and I was witnessing. I thank God. I mean, if the length of time also counts, then it's a privilege for me that as early as that, I was doing something like that. It's a privilege. Yeah. So thank God. You wouldn't choose an old one. How many have seen a man, a young man who's going to marry an elderly lady before? It happens. How many have seen one before? See, a young man is good. What goes on in your mind? What goes on in your mind? Huh? You are tall, what?
Huh? You are tall, your brain slightly smaller than
one day I saw a young man. He was about 25, 26 years old. He had married a lady who was about 50-something years old.
Mercy.
So I said, why did this young man marry this elderly lady? And you know what I found out? I found out that the woman was a millionaire, a dollar millionaire.
Mercy.
He has seen a reason why. God is sometimes forced to go for older versions because of some unusual reasons. But if you would have chosen, look at this one. How old are you?
18.
Why can't she serve God from when she's 18? Does she have to sleep with so many people? Have 1,000 boyfriends? You know, and sometimes you don't know, you see, people's background, and when they start to say, it's better that they don't say, you wouldn't feel easy afterwards. It doesn't have to be. You can get a fresh something. For Jesus. She's fresh.
Fresh.
She's exciting. When you are fresh, you are exciting. And when you are not fresh, you are tired. When you see a man come, you say, I love you. I've heard this one.
I wasn't born yesterday.
You are not excited or exciting.
You said I was not born last week. If you go to Lighthouse, you say, I was not born, you know, like my outdooring was some time ago. And then I said, I love you, baby.
Hey, come on now.
Hi, baby. I miss you, baby. I've been calling your phone all day, baby. Why has your phone been switched off, baby? Can I come to your house tonight, baby?
When you have had everything, you listen to yourself, look at it, I look at somebody. Look at somebody. You want to come to my house tonight? You take me to be a child. Because, you see, you are not fresh. And you are not exciting. And excited by nonsense. You look at us and look at someone. Look at it. You take me to be just born last week. You want to come to my house? It's when you are fresh and exciting and excited that they give you a rose and then you'll be happy. When you have been in the system for some time and they come and give you the rose. I've seen this rose for many times. I've seen this rose many times.
You just look at the rose and I say, I love that. Okay.
I've heard. But when you are fresh, you see the rose, you will call your friend.
He just left here. He gave me a rose.
You are too fresh. You see, God, when you have young people, they are excited about God.
Oh, yeah.
They're excited about the ministry. They believe in it. They have not had sinyazos. But they believe in God. They believe in His word. They say, yeah, we can do. We can reach the world. We can go out there to the uttermost, to the highway, to the byway. They believe in something. They are excited. They are fresh. And they have hope.
Great.
And the older ones, we can reach the world. Amen. It's good. One day, I finished preaching and some people came down to see me in my office. And they said, there is something about you that reminds me of somebody I know in America. Then somebody said, what is it? I think it's the zeal. You seem very zealous. And I was thinking to myself, what should I be? I shouldn't be zealous about what I'm preaching. I must be out of my mind to leave my medical profession and come and stand here and be preaching. Yeah. If I was not zealous about something.
Yeah.
Your dullness will kill your ministry.
Yeah.
Thank God that your pastor has some zeal and some interest in what he's doing. Thank God that your pastor has some zeal and some interest and some fire left in him. After about 25 years of preaching and doing this work, sinyazos and other things, I still have some zeal. I still have some interest. Thank God. That we are not just doing this because of money or for whatever purpose.
Great.
Thank God.
Great.
Thank God that there's still some freshness and some excitement about God and about His work.
Yeah.
I tell you, zeal for today and zeal for tomorrow. I said, zeal for today and zeal for tomorrow. Though he slay me, yet will I praise him. I see a zeal coming out like fire. In your youthfulness, you shall be zealous. In your middle age, you shall be zealous. In your old age, you shall be zealous. For a new fire shall rekindle the deadness of your spirit.
Jesus.
And you shall rise with new fire. New fire. New fire.
Amen.
You see, there is a beauty of every age.
Yeah.
And there's a freshness that comes at every stage.
Bless you, Jesus.
May that freshness that is supposed to accompany your stage, may that freshness be upon you. The fact that you are even older does not mean that the freshness is not on you. Because we all get old. But at every stage, there's a glory. There's a beauty. There's a freshness. There's an excitement. There's a zeal that comes. And may that zeal be yours at every stage of your life and ministry.
Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Ellipsis. Well, let's go into that now. It says, and there was a cry of the people and of their wives. When you have worked for God and you are working and building, you may be surprised at what will remove you from the battle. It would not be Satan or his agents. But Ellipsis will remove you or extract you from the fire or from the battle. As you start building, you know, there are many reasons why people don't build. People don't build houses. People don't build. You know, the nation does not develop because of certain natural problems. Bible says there was the cry of the wives. And then the cry of the people. And then the cry of their mortgages. And their debts and the monies that they had borrowed. These three cries, the cry of the wives, the cry of the people, and the cry of the mortgages and the debts, suddenly turned the attention of the builder from the wall. That is why in this chapter you don't hear about the wall anymore. This is the chapter where you don't hear about the building of this wall anymore.
Preach. Preach.
This is the end of the building of the real wall that he has been asked to build. And you don't hear of the building of this wall. If you can remember, earlier on, they were building and fighting, holding weapons, fighting, struggling, working, and it was moving on. And there was some excitement in the air as they were building. Suddenly there was a cry of the people, a cry of the wives, the cry of the mortgages and the borrowed monies. And suddenly the issue of the war itself went down. And attention turned to another dimension of issues which have power. The word clipsis is a Greek word. There are three areas which will fight every minister and every builder. And although these areas are not so spiritual, they have a spiritual basis. The first is the cry of the people, or the call of relationships that you have. Things like orangus, rebels, and other relationships that are important, that start to crack and that start to break, and disloyalty and dissatisfaction and discontentment within the ranks can break. If you remember, during the last election, we had the NDC government, and we had people who were part of the NDC government breaking away. You remember Guzitano and that group of people, and they formed a new party. You know, and those were the main core of the party, or a major section, you know. And with the breakaway of all these parts, you find that the winning team became weaker.
Yeah.
And it became less effective. And for the first time, an incumbent government was unseated by a weaker opposition. It's marvelous.
It is.
What removed them was something else. Then you have the cry of the wives, marriage, and the issues that are therein. I'll come to that at the end. And then you have the mortgages. The Bible says the people had borrowed money. Then there were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our lands and our vineyards. Verse 3 says, some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses, that we may buy corn because of the debt. They had mortgaged house. To mortgage your house means to sort of be in debt because of your house, you know, and to get into an arrangement that makes you a slave to somebody else, and your house is the factor that keeps you in the relationship. If you play around, they'll take your house. If you don't work for them again, they'll take your house. Am I saying something right? Somehow, what I'm saying must be true in a way. That's why many people stop building. Why do you think the government cannot just build roads and so on? They have to pay the salaries of all the MPs. And they have to pay this and pay that and pay this, pay debts, Ghana. That's why we went hippic. Because they have to pay for things. Are you listening to me? And then, finally, the cry of the wives. Marriage. And the issues that it brings, depending on where you are. That's why you may not understand when somebody has been married for 25 and they start to clap. There's a reason. Somebody's been married for 20 years and they start to clap. Because of eclipses. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm just Read that and we'll end.
Rich.
Verse 25. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that has obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose therefore that this is good for the present distress. I say it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. It is a wrong thought to want to be separated from your wife. It's not a correct thought.
Okay.
Amen. Seek not to be loosed. Don't think about it. I wish I can be free. I wish I can go away from this marriage. Seek not to be loosed. And it's a wrong thought to want to be loosed from your husband. Like, I wish I would be free. Somebody's husband traveled and she began to sing a song. What's the song? I am free. Praise the Lord. I'm free. No longer bound. No more chains holding me. My soul is destined. Just another blessing. It's just another blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm free. Mercy. Zizi mercy. Mercy. I mean, the husband traveled after 1 week. She started to say, I am free. Praise the Lord. I'm free. No longer bound. No more chains holding me. My soul is thirsty. It's just another blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm free. Mercy. Zimmer. Seek not to be loosed. Look at the song that you are singing. It says, seek not to be loosed from your wife. You should not have those thoughts and those ideas in your mind. It's a wrong thought. And it's a wrong, even if you are annoyed or whatever, you should not think that way. Seek not, is that thou married? Seek not to be loosed. Don't think and seek. You are thinking of options, ways. You can be loosed and be free. I am free.
Mercy.
He said, are thou loose from a wife? Seek not a wife. That means if you don't have a wife, or vice versa, you don't have a husband, don't seek one.
Mercy.
I think we are doing the opposite. We are seeking for beloveds. Actively. Doing whatever we can do. Huh? Beloved doses, sleeping around in search, trying this and trying. I'm trying Jack Toronto. If it doesn't work, I'll try Dirty Daniel. If it doesn't work, I'll try Slappy J. Big Bobo. All right. Seek not a wife, seek not a husband. Verse 28. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. It's not a sin if you marry. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. It's not a sin to marry. It's a good thing to marry. When a man has found a wife, he has found a good thing and has obtained favor with the Lord. This verse, that scripture I just quoted, is in favor. Of you, it's in your favor. You know, some scriptures you hear them, or even dreams. You say, this dream is not a good dream for me. It's not in your favor. But this scripture I just quoted is in your favor in terms of marriage. But the one I'm about to read is not in your favor. It contains a frightening word called tlipsis. Zimmer. It says, but and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. I'm talking about the cry of the wives. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble. trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. The word trouble is the word thlipsis. What you are going to have when you marry in the flesh. If you haven't seen it, it's because you are new or young. One day I was talking to a pastor. He said, some people, they are self-proclaimed men of God and self-declared men of God. That when the Prince of Ghana visits them some few times, then they will run away from the ministry. Because they haven't seen certain things. The ministry is not a place for jokers and playboys. It's a place for serious battle, fighting and building. Now he said, they that shall marry, I didn't say it though. This is what I'm just reading. Shall have trouble. In the Greek, the word trouble is the word thlipsis. And it means you can take note of all the words. This is what you should expect. Number one, it means pressure. Pressure. Males. Pressure. You see, the wives were crying. We need this, we need that, we need that. So even as you are focusing on the work of God, the wives are crying.
I see.
So many cries. Depending on the type of wife, there are different types of wives. And depending on what the wife feels she doesn't have.
Preach.
Preach.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Some wives feel they don't have enough money from their husbands. So they talk about money and money. So there's a cry. You are spending money on this and that, but you are not spending money here. You are giving money to this and giving money to that, but what about me? And what about us? A cry of the wives.
Preach it.
Some feel you are giving attention to others. What about me? A cry of the wives. You are chatting with this person and chatting with that person. What about me? The cry of the wives. Should I go on?
Yes.
Okay, I want you to go on. Think of all the rest of the examples. Okay? You will hear them in your spirit. This is not a marriage seminar. Number two, it means tribulation. Tribulation. When the prince of marriage visits you once or twice, some few times. I know, you see, as for the Bible, when you haven't experienced it, you think it is not true. One day, man of God said to me, he said, no matter the kind of leadership principles you are using in your church, he said, I don't care what kind of principles you are using in your church of leadership and certain strategies. He said to me, you are not greater than Christ. If Jesus had Judas, you also have Judas. I said, I've learned to listen to the voice of those who are a little experienced. Tribulation. Tribulation. Take note. Because you see, this one, the attack is in the Bible says, in the secrets. In the Bible, when we talk of the secrets, we are talking of the genitals. When he says you have been stricken in the secrets. When the Bible speaks of being stricken in the secrets, it's speaking of the genitals, the hidden places.
Mercy. And when Satan has tried to give you pimples, it hasn't stopped you from preaching.
Yeah.
He has tried to give you ulcer, it hasn't stopped you from preaching. That he may strike you in the secrets. Oh, yes. Because the secrets is not so easy to reveal.
Yeah.
That's why people rarely talk about their marriages.
Yeah.
They can talk about their financial problem, about this problem, but the secrets, the inner things you can't say. If you say it like it's some way, although everybody has one, don't say it so easily.
Yeah.
My preaching is difficult to understand, you see. So he will strike you in the secrets when he has struck you everywhere. In a place you can't easily say it and explain it. How do you explain certain places? In the secrets. That's what it's like when he strikes you in the marriage. In the secrets. You can't easily say some few times of strikings. Then you begin to believe what the Apostle Paul said. Number three, it means trouble, affliction. The next one, it means anguish. Anguish. The next one, it means to be burdened. To be burdened.
Most.
This is they that will marry shall be burdened. They that will marry shall have tribulation. They that will marry shall have anguish. They that will marry shall have tribulation. Pressure. They that will marry shall have pressure. Even those in relationship are having pressure.
Most.
And yet we want it all the more. We are like the afflictives flying to the light. The light will kill us, but we like the light. Now, let me give you I'm reading out from the Greek dictionary. It says, this word primarily means oppressing. Oppressing. Pressure. Or anything which burdens the spirit. That is what... And this is what happened with Nehemiah. And we no more hear about the war. We didn't hear about the plastering of the war or the finishing of the war or how they were rounding up or whatever. We just started to hear about burdens and about troubles and mortgages and about the people who were crying and every, this one is not happy with this and about the marriage and the cry of the wives. And we finished the war issues. They have struck you in the secrets. It says, in two passages, it is used of future retribution in the way of affliction. It is used of the calamities of war and so on. Now, it speaks or has reference to sufferings due to the pressure of circumstances or the antagonism of persons. Antagonisms of persons. Anybody who has been married has been antagonized by his spouse before. Oh. Only that, you see, it's just like in the natural. You don't say that the secrets are scratching you or there's a problem or something. I'm sorry to use that example, but I'm trying to find something that I can help you to understand what I'm saying. We don't say it. We don't talk about it.
Yeah.
It's clear.
I mean, honestly, I apologize and I don't want to use, I don't want to speak about something, but I don't know how else to explain to you. Really, I apologize, you know. I'm growing older, so these days I don't say certain things.
Nice.
If you look at my gray hair, you see that I don't want trouble.
Nice.
But there are certain things it is not easy to say. And it's said to be antagonized or to be opposed. In the secrets. NLA dictionary, mean kind of dictionary. Mean kind of dictionary. I'm just reading that. These are the dictionary. It's not my notes. I'm not reading it. That's a dictionary. I'm just reading it. Eclipses. Should I read on?
Read on.
it is. It says, when used of the present experience of believers, it refers almost invariably to that which comes upon them from without. Something that is coming from outside to pressurize you. Another word used is narrow. A squeeze road. You can't walk well. In the hour when the enemy would take you up in the secrets,
preach.
May his revelation and his grace keep you.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
May you be saved from a super eclipsis. Because some people have eclipses, but some people have super eclipses. They have pressure, but some others have super eclipses. Everybody has it to some degree. Some have more. More antagonism. More pressure. More burden. More anguish. More affliction. One time, Rick Joyner was looking at somebody, and the Lord spoke to him about the person's marriage. And he said that this man has got a very turbulent marriage, a very difficult spouse. And the Lord said to him that your marriage is far better than this man's marriage, but you have not done as much as he has done with his difficult marriage. And what you have done with your lower eclipses is not as much as this man with his super eclipses. One day I was sitting at a meeting with a brother who was having a super eclipsis with his wife. And his wife said, I'm leaving you, even though you are the pastor. I'm leaving you. And I said, please don't leave him. She said, I'm leaving. And what can you do? She said to me, go and announce in the church, I'm not coming back. I've finished. And the husband said, I don't want you to go. She said, I'm going. What will you do? Burden. I've seen pastors burden. I've seen pastors tell me I want to commit suicide. The pressure, the pressing, different kinds of... You see, it depends on the type of spouse you have. They'll press it from different places. It's wonderful. But it is in the secrets. So you don't easily say, my hair... See, you don't easily, it's scratching. You want to see the other one. It's not easily like that. Yeah. That's why people talk about every problem, but they've not talked about their marriage. So you see them coming to church. One day I saw a certain brother, they were wearing light brown, stand up, this color. Light brown, like this. And the wife was also wearing light brown. Beautiful suit. So I said to the pastor, hey, this couple, they are beautifully dressed together. Same dress, same color. It was a super eclipsis.
I said,
Zimmer. It was a super eclipsis. And I said, why? He said, they don't talk. They have not spoken for some months. So I said, how are they able to? No, he said, every time the character is green, we are all wearing green. You stand up with your green. Like that. If it's green, then he's also in green. If it's white, then white. Brown, brown.
Red.
Thank you. He said, maybe they coordinate. When you see this one, whoever, maybe you see that this one is ironing this one. Say that, okay, this is the color code. And they come together, press ties, and they walk into church dignified. They don't talk. They don't speak. Super eclipses. I said super eclipses. Anguish. Burden. One day I was sitting in a car with a pastor. And he spoke. I tell you, you feel sad. I cannot tell you what he said. But you feel the anguish. Burden. Pressure. As he sat, it was raining. And it was dark in the middle of the night. And he spoke and spoke out of his anguish of where he had been pressed into circumstances by the place that he was at. And as the water was dripping over the windscreen and all around, and I sat in that gloomy dark car hearing stories of anguish and suffering, of the secrets. You see, when they start to say the secret pains and the scars and the bleedings in the secrets. That's why you should have a pastor. You should have a father. You should have some, you can talk and you feel safe. You know that what you say, somebody is laughing at you. Supatlipsis. May you be saved.
Yes, Lord.
In the hour when, you, like Nehemiah, you hear the cry.
Amen.
May God strengthen you and stabilize you. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands to the Lord. For there shall come a day and a night. For the day comes to everyone, and the night also comes to everyone.
Yeah.
For the life that I have placed you into is not a life of continuous light and day, but surely there must be a night. And there must be darkness. For it is part of this time and this era that you may walk through the darkness. But fear not, for I have strengthened you. For I have given you higher wisdom. And though the enemy shall come against you like a flood and shall come against you with pressure, I shall be there to lift your hand, to lift your head. For I shall stabilize you. I shall give you wisdom. I shall strengthen you. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. My grace is sufficient for you. My love and my grace shall lift you from every dark place. And I shall place you upon the rock. I shall place you. For I am the Lord that lifteth up your head. Strengthens you. Yea, for he may strike you in the secret, but I shall also come to you in the secret. When you come and search for me in the secret place, I shall come also in the secret place and strengthen you. For remember your Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration, in the secret place, in the presence of Peter, James, and John, was encouraged in the secret place. Alone in Gethsemane, he was encouraged by angels in secret. For when the enemy shall take you up, I shall take you and strengthen you in the secret. Be strengthened, my son. Be strengthened, my daughter. For I have seen the secrets and the way the enemy has fought against you in the darkness. For he loves to play against you in the dark. And hit you on the left in the dark. And you cry and say, what hit me? And you look to the left and the right and you don't know what is striking you and fighting you. But I, the Lord, have seen. For I shall strengthen you in the last hour. You shall say, I won. I won, for the Lord was with me. I overcame because he was there. Because he's in there now. He's in there, the greater one. The greater one is in there. He's fighting for you. He's fighting for you. He's bringing you to a higher place, to the better place that he has called you. Therefore, lift up your head, for he shall lift you up. Lift up your eyes, for he shall bless you. He shall increase you. He shall strengthen your hand to build, and to continue building. He shall bless you, yea, in the time of storm, for the storm shall come, but they that build upon my word shall stand. They that build upon the rock shall find their place. Even after the storm, they shall still stand, and they shall be found standing. After the confusion and after the darkness, my spirit shall wash you, and my blood shall cleanse you, and you shall find yourself standing, 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 stand, stand, for I have called you to stand. I've called you to fight. I've called you to win. Win in the public and win in the secret place. Win in the private place and win in the open. Win the battle in every place that he will fight with you. When he comes to you in the secret place, I shall give you the wisdom and the grace to fight and to win. For I, the Lord, shall do what you never thought I would do and I could do. Thou, O Lord, art a shield. Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. You're my glory and the lifter of my head.
Yeah.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.